Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how is it rolling?
Wheels Wienerker, fan of the 1-2 New York Jets.
Yeah, so are you happy or are you sad with what happened yesterday?
No, it's depressing. I really tried not to watch the second half. I'm happy watching them lose. It was so weird trying to lose while they kept like, you know, intercepting Cutler and doing better. It was gross.
Yeah. Yeah, Cutler was too bad for you. You know, I wanted to have an emergency podcast with you yesterday because you've accused me in the past of some of my takes, even though we record on Monday, which is before most, you know, football weekly podcasts record. You've accused me in the past of some of my takes being too old by Monday afternoon that people have already heard them on Sunday. And I wanted to record yesterday because like the 20 minutes of like the end of the 1 o'clock games was just like madness, like insanely exciting. And so I wanted to record right after that. And then I see ESPN already this morning made this whole like video thing about like those 23 minutes of craziness.
Yeah. Mike, so they've already beat us to the punch from 3 to 4.
Yeah.
And usually it's like there's one good
game. It's not even, it's like, but it's like 3:50 to like 4:20.
Right. You know what this was like, actually? Before they staggered the NCAA tournament games, like, for many years, there was just, like, 4 games at 12:30, and then 4 games at 3, and 4 games at 7, and 4 games at 9:30. And once in a while, you'd have, like, 3 of the 12:30 games down, like, literally having their final possession at the same time, and they'd have to go, like, triple screen or...
Yeah, but there's no red zone channel for March Madness.
Right. So this was really, like, Bill Barnwell said it was, I think, the 7th closest 1 o'clock slate ever, but in, you know, in the 5 or 6 years I've been watching the red zone, plus the 4 years before that where I was being paid to, you know, keep eye, you know, on the 1 o'clock game. So about the last decade, this is at worst the second or third best 1 o'clock slate. It was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it's funny because, you know, the NFL has been really struggling the first 2 weeks. The quality of play has been bad. You know, the stands have been a little bit empty. Ratings are down. Everybody's criticizing them. Trump comes out, you know, this weekend and tells everybody to boycott the NFL. The NFL sucks. And so, of course, the NFL all of a sudden immediately becomes good.
No, for sure.
So I'm trying. Trump should say something about how my marriage sucks. Yeah. I would appreciate if he did that, maybe.
Say the Jets are going to keep winning.
Yeah. Yeah, he should say that I'm getting paid too much by my employer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you want to keep this
yeah,
going?
So he managed to, it's also interesting because like the boycotting of the NFL has sort of been like a left wing thing.
Yes. Right.
You know,
now,
so it's interesting
you know, Bernie bros like us, well, we're just to be clear, we're Bernie Madoff bros, not Bernie Sanders, but Bernie bros like us are, you know, like now they're back in, we're all in the NFL, the wokest league in town.
Yeah. If you're woke. Yeah. If you're woke, you have to support the NFL now.
Right. At one point, liberals and conservatives were boycotting. Here's the deal. If you love, someone tweeted, I think Jimmy Trainor of Sports Illustrated tweeted, like, if Roger Goodell murdered my family, I'd still watch 12 hours of football today. You know, he tweeted that yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, if you like, you know, some like conservative guy tweeted a few weeks ago, like, I'm the fan, the NFL can't afford to lose. Like, if you like the NFL the way I do and the way I think you do, like, no politics is going to change it. I really don't care.
Yeah.
So
it's like alcoholism. We understand there's many negative consequences to this, but you know, we're especially as Vikings fans and Jets fans.
Yeah.
We're not doing this for pleasure.
No, this is just because we have to. A couple cool stats.
We're like football fans who are drinking mouthwash to get drunk.
Basically. A couple cool stats I came up with today. All right, so first of all, this isn't some great stat, but only 2 undefeated teams after week 3. I don't believe that's happened in the last like 20 years. Only 2.
Last year, I think, weren't the Vikings the only one at 4-0?
The Vikings were the only one to get to 4-0, and of course, they also got to 5-0, and then they barely got to 6 at 10. But 3-0, Falcons and the Chiefs. The number one team in the NFL in point differential is, do you have a guess?
It's not the Chiefs?
No, it's the Jaguars after their drubbing of the Ravens. They're plus 38.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because they had a big blowout in week 1 as well.
How about this? The Rams have scored the most points. They've scored 70 more points than the Giants in the same amount of games.
Jared Goff, baby. Somebody tweeted yesterday, it turns out that the Jared Goff Case Keenum battle in Los Angeles last year was a battle between the 2 best quarterbacks in football history.
That's right. Yeah. Do you know who's last in point differential?
Last in point differential. Off the top of my head, I don't know. Is it still Indy?
Yeah, Indy is first. The Giants are second, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's get. Let's quickly recap just those early games yesterday. It was just. I mean, it was completely bonkers. So Pittsburgh at Chicago. This is, by the way, 2 weeks out of three that Chicago has played really well at home against a Super Bowl contender type team. And they sandwiched that with a garbage game on the road. So how do we explain that? Now, part of it is the Steelers, you know, this is one thing I was big on in the preseason. The Steelers are a much worse road team than a home team. But how do we explain the Bears playing so well against Atlanta and against Pittsburgh at home?
We don't. I mean, their defense is competent, but like we don't. It doesn't make any sense why the Bears are playing this well.
Yeah, and by the way, at the end of the first half, obviously that game went crazy at the end of the second half and in overtime, but at the end of the first half where there was the Leon Lett play for the Bears.
Yeah, so, I mean, we say that, you know, we said a lot the last couple of years that, like, if you watch football all day, you'll see at least one thing every Sunday you've never seen before. I mean, Leon Lett was celebrating, but Marcus Cooper just looked like he, like, stopped. Like, he wasn't even trying once he got to the 2 yards.
Like he's tired or something. Yeah.
But the truth is, the real thing that you'd never seen before, because you sort of have seen that, it happens in college every week, if, you know, you're willing to go down to, like, you know, the FCS. But the one thing that you've never seen before is the Von Miller penalty. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the psych.
Because Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, for those who didn't see it, he hits Tyrod Taylor, and then he gives him a hand to lift him up, and then pulls it back. Yeah. And says psych, presumably. Yeah. And then he got flagged
for sports. And it changed the game. It was a massive play. It was fourth and six, and it became first and ten with a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just absolutely crazy. You'll never see that again in your life.
The crazy thing is, so the Bears have the Leon Lett play to end the first half, and then in real time, within about 5 minutes, Stephon Diggs had a 59-yard touchdown for the Vikings, and he did the same thing, and the defender for Tampa caught up to him on like the 1 yard line, but Diggs managed to get the ball back and just get into the end zone, but he very nearly fumbled.
Yeah.
And it's crazier to me though when it's a defensive player, because as a defensive player, you score a touchdown so infrequently, you might get one or two in your career.
Like Cooper will never
score. Yeah. Yeah, why are you not like get all the way into the end zone before you celebrate? It's really insane.
It was crazy. I mean, I know you're running his theme, but that's crazy. And also like Odell peeing like overshadows the fact that he has like two amazing touchdown catches.
Yeah, which, by the way, like, who cares? Like, somebody said, oh, how am I going to explain this to my kids? Like, have your kids never seen a dog? Like, that's what dogs do. He was pretending to be a dog.
My kids would have thought it was hilarious. And it cost them 4 yards because they had the ball at 29 instead of 25.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to do a quick draft before we get into
Okay. Well, let's just finish recapping the late games.
Fine. Yeah, let's do last one.
Okay, so the Atlanta at Detroit game, what's your take on that rule, the 10-second runoff?
It's a unjust rule that they did not think of the consequence for, but it was applied correctly.
Okay, so I disagree with you. The exact opposite happened last year before they implemented the rule, or was it 2 years ago? It's unjust the other direction, because then you're giving the team with no timeouts a free timeout. Basically, it's unjust either way, right?
10 seconds is also an arbitrary number.
Well, yeah, but that's sort of the minimum estimate of how long it would take to get a play. If they had called him down in the field of play, they would not have been able to get a playoff within 8 seconds. 9 or 10, arguably they could, which is why that's the runoff. I think part of the problem is it was a bad play call by the Lions. You can't call a play where there's any question about being down in the field of play.
Obviously I agree. I mean, listen, the Texans had to know that Brady was going to Cooks, and it didn't stop them. But yeah, but right, smart teams, you know, not teams that secretly give Caldwell extension in February, but smart teams.
Yeah. By the way, giving Caldwell the extension when they started 2-0 is just high comedy.
No, but it's an old extension that they just announced.
Oh, okay. But and the Falcons now 3-0, you know, as you said, the only undefeated team left in the NFC, and probably should be 1-2.
Yeah, listen, their penance is coming.
All right. The Houston at New England game, you know, everybody knew the Patriots were coming back to win that game. There was zero doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, how crazy were you going when O'Brien kicks the field goal up two? Because I was going out of my
mind.
And Morty, I was watching with my friend Morty, and he was saying, like, you have to stop catering, you know, to playing against one player, even if he's Tom Brady. Like, play the way you'd normally play, kick the field goal, you know, don't let them beat you with the field goal. I said, like, no, you need to.
There was nobody in America who thought the Patriots weren't scoring a touchdown there.
No, you cannot give Brady the ball back ever.
Yeah. And again, if you convert the fourth down there, the game's over.
And Bill O'Brien is a buffoon, and he's coaching scared. No one who's reasonable is going to get mad at you for failing in the fourth down play.
Yeah.
The only way you don't do it is if you think you have a below 50% chance of, I mean, even like a 40% chance you probably still go for it.
That wasn't even O'Brien's biggest mistake of the game, because then, on the 12, with 12 seconds left, they get the completion, and he doesn't call a timeout for some reason. They waste like 10 seconds.
3 seconds. Crazy.
That was also incomprehensible.
It was so hard to keep track of, like, maybe he was watching the Red Zone Channel. I was watching the Red Zone Channel. And, like, And Andrew Siliano was like also having trouble keeping track of what was going on. It was like four games in.
Yeah. What I actually did, so I did the four box option on Sunday Ticket. So I had four different games going. I kept the Red Zone channel in one box, and then I kept the other three games in other three boxes.
Don't you find the boxes too small? That's what I do a lot of times. But
I put it actually on my computer screen instead of on my TV. I flipped it from, I turned off Chromecast. So I was watching on my computer screen because then I'm an inch away. And I can also be switching audio back and forth much quicker than I can on the TV screen. So
yeah, I do that a lot. I do Red Zone and then the three games. I do that a lot. Even at 4 o'clock, sometimes there'll be three games. I'll do like Red Zone.
There's exactly three games. Yes, I did that also, actually.
Very weak slate, although they ended up being okay workmanlike games. But one of the weaker 4 o'clock slates I can ever remember.
Yeah, but that again, the best time to take a nap or do something with your kids or whatever is like 4 to 6 on Sunday afternoon or 4:30.
Yeah, I never, unless it's my team, I never watch the first half.
That's resting time.
Need a little break.
And then there was Giants Eagles, which I accidentally rated as the best game of the week last week, and it turned out to be what did you think was the correct call? Like going for the 61-yard field goal with Odell Beckham Jr. back there to, you know, pull an Antonio Cromartie on you?
Yeah, why not?
Well, why not? Because, again, what...
If the Giants get it, then it's just like a reverse Deshaun Jackson.
Because then you have a bunch of slow offensive linemen trying to chase Odell Beckham Jr. Like, by the way, the funniest thing is, in the pregame, they asked Doug Peterson how confident he was with his kicker, and he said, I would try up to 55 yards. And then he tries a 61-yarder. Yeah, and then in the postgame press conference, he says, he was asked how confident he was on the kicker. He says, oh, I had no doubt that was definitely going through. I'm like, you're a liar, because before the game, you said you wouldn't even let him try one from that distance.
And it was like a weird video game kick where it like was like... almost an inch too far to the right and almost an inch too short.
Yeah, it just got in there.
Squeezed in both ways.
Yeah. By the way, you got to feel so happy for the kicker, though. That's the highlight of his life.
It is the highlight of his life. There's a really cool video on Twitter, if you could find it, about of his parents watching. Like, his dad is shaking afterwards.
Yeah.
Watching that kick. It's very cool. And this has been the Bengals' year, because the Bengals picked that guy in the fifth round this year, but cut.
Oh. All right.
He's like Aguayo Jr.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that part. All right. So let's get to your draft this week.
Okay. So this week, for the complainers at home, I actually wanted to do a pop culture drift. I wanted to do, in honor of the on the Seinfeld podcast, I was watching the Seinfeld finale. I wanted to do each of us drafting five series finales from TV shows. But Chester said he only had two that he cared about. I had eight. So if you want my series finales, maybe in a different podcast. So what we're going to do instead is football. We're going to do a football draft. Just a quick update. You were beating me by about 30 points in the WNBA draft after one game.
Even though the Lynx lost at the buzzer in game one.
Yes. Yeah, I had a couple players, Rebecca Brunson and Renee Montgomery, who didn't show up. Only had 5 points combined.
Yeah. Maya Moore had a great game. Sylvia Fowles had a great game, but again.
Maya Moore had 27. I think my... Chelsea Gray, I'm blanking on her name.
Yeah, Chelsea Gray, 27.
Had 27, including, I think, the game winner. Anyway, so this week's bet, we are betting on coaches to get fired. I believe the scoring will work. You get 3 points for every... You could keep picking until you want to stop picking, but you lose... It's +3 if your coach gets fired, but -2 if they don't. And it could be fired, quit, traded, whatever. They have to be off that team by the end of Black Friday, which is, Monday, January 2nd, I'm just guessing. Do you want first pick or next two for NFL head coaches who are going to get fired?
So the deadline is 11:59 p.m. or five, like the day after the season ends is the deadline.
Yeah. Schefter, they don't have to like form. We don't know the paperwork. Adam Schefter, or Rapport or Peter King has to say like they're gone.
Okay. All right. I will take, I don't care. Should we flip the coin?
Yeah, flip it. Flip the magical coin.
Okay. Call it in the air.
It's January 1st.
Call it in the air.
2018. Heads.
Heads it is.
All right, I want next two. You go first.
Okay, so I pick the first pick. Which coach will definitely be unemployed when the season ends?
Definitely be unemployed. They could retire also.
I mean, there's a couple obvious ones, but the question is, why weren't they fired a long time ago? So how stupid are there?
Yeah. Very stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I know that you want, Bulls, obviously, as a Jets fan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Pagano. I just don't. There's no way he should fill this job. Yeah. I'm going to take Pagano.
You're out of here. I'm going to go next to. I'm going to go with Jets Todd Bowles. I definitely would have gone Pagano 1. I think that's the obvious pick. But then for my third pick overall, I am going to go with Marvin Lewis. And I think they're going to have to go at least 4-12 for him to even, you know, consider getting, you know, for Brown to consider firing Marvin Lewis. But I do think they're probably going to go 4-12 at this point. So, Marvin Lewis, you're out of here.
Okay. All right. So, my next pick is John Fox. Although, again, the Bears keep playing well at home, but I don't think he wants to be there anymore. I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
This is where
a paycheck.
Yeah. This is where it gets tough.
Yeah. I mean, you could stop picking now.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's going to be more than the four coaches fired. I guess I'll go
Caldwell.
With,
you could go with Caldwell.
Well, I would have gone with Caldwell, except, you know, I mean, they still could fire him, obviously. I'm going to go with McAdoo. It's only been 2 years, but people are turning on him really fast in New York.
No, McAdoo's in trouble. That's some good picks, Fox and McAdoo. I think we're still in the range where it's more probable than not. I think all five of those guys have at least a 50% chance of getting axed.
Yeah. Are you making another pick?
Yeah, I'm making two more picks. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here. I'm going to pick Doug Peterson, who's only, I believe, in his second year, and is 2-1.
Listening to the Ringer.
Yeah, but I think I don't think he's going to make the playoffs. I think they maybe go 7-9, and if they go 7-9, I think he's toast. So I'm going with Doug Peterson getting fired. Bye, Doug. See you later. And then, you know, I'm not going to pick him, but I'm kind of sick of Dirk Cutter after yesterday. That was a really bad performance. I think Bill O'Brien, I think, is I don't know how hot his seat is, but I think it would behoove him to, you know, win some games. But here's where I'm going. This is a good pick, actually. Jason Garrett. I think, you know, the Cowboys go 8-8. He's for sure gone. He seems to have maybe have lost the team. He's never really blown me away. Bye-bye, Jason Garrett. And now we're really in the slim pickings zone.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Hugh Jackson. He's 1-18 as a coach for the Browns.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Maybe they don't blame him. I don't know. But again, he's 1-18. So it's hard to, if they win three games or less again, I just don't see how you keep him. Doug Marone, it's his first year in Jacksonville, right?
Yeah. And they're 2-1. I mean, he would have to lose his last 13 to get fired, I think.
Yeah. Caldwell, I don't know. I mean, they're already off to a 2-1 start, so it's hard
and
to see
that.
That's
not a big fire. That's you know, similar to the Bengals. That's a team that gives their coaches a long leash.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to make one more pick. This is my final pick. Mm-hmm. Maybe a surprise, but I'm going to take Jay Gruden. This is, I think, his fourth season there.
Yeah.
And
it's not crazy.
You know,
it's not a bad pick.
Although they had a huge win yesterday, but that's my fifth.
They are 2-1, but again, 8-8 could get him fired, so it's not like they have to totally collapse. Some teams that are tanking, like the Chargers, have a new coach, so it's tough to pick. Similar to, you know, same thing with the 49ers. You could wonder about old coaches like Belichick or Carroll. Arians is pretty old too, but it's not worth picking them because there's a -2. Bill O'Brien is tempting, but I think I'm going to stop the draft here. I don't think. Did you pick Caldwell?
No. He's available.
You know what? I'm going to go with Caldwell, and then I'm going to stop the draft.
Okay.
So we each picked 6 or 5?
We each picked 5.
5 guys. Okay. And what's your team?
I have a Chuck Pagano, John Fox, Ben McAdoo, Hugh Jackson, and Jay Gruden.
And I have?
You have Todd Bowles, Marvin Lewis, Doug Peterson, Jason Garrett, and Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I like my team. Maybe we could put up a poll of who's going to win in the 32 Fans Facebook group. All right, you ready to get to the Week 4 games?
And thank you for Paul Elliott, who created a Google Doc last week.
Yeah, Google Doc for the WNBA points.
No, for all the bets, actually. He's tracking all
the bets. Oh, he is? And I like the guy who said he'll try to win the Super Bowl for the 5-27 bet. So keep tracking who's going to win the Super Bowl. Thanks.
Yeah, the Patriots with a win, the Packers with a win, the Steelers with a loss, the Broncos with a loss, and the Raiders with a loss. So your teams went 2-3 this week.
Not ideal. I still like my end of the bet. I wish I had a sixth team, and obviously people were very mad I didn't pick the Falcons. That was controversial, but
yeah,
I'm fine with it.
All right, okay. So let's jump into the Week 4 games, and we have not picked the spreads yet. So we're gonna do that live on the air. Is that correct?
Yes. Let's copy Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal even more. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start Thursday night. The Bears go to Green Bay. Green Bay pulled another one out of their butts. You know, week one, they barely beat Seattle, and we thought, well, Seattle's defense is really good. But now, is there something wrong with Green Bay, or is it just like they sort of start slow every season?
Rodgers starts slow every season, and McCarthy doesn't wake up till like November 1st.
And by the way, we say he starts slow, but then he ends the season with like 40 touchdowns and 8 picks. So,
oh yeah, his bad seasons are always 41 yeah. and 6. I agree.
All right, and the Bears, basically, they're Jekyll and Hyde at home. They can beat a good team, and on the road, they can lose by 20 points. So what do you have for this line?
Okay, so this game
Chicago
is... Chicago at Green Bay. With the Bears playing well, I'm going to say Packers by 7.5.
7.5, okay. I said 8.5, and you get it exactly. So Keeve jumps out to a 1-0 lead on me here.
You know, the Bears, this is a weird spread, because if the Bears had not played that well, this would have been like 11. This easily could have been 11.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers line was bigger against Cincinnati this past week, which is why we both jumped on Cincinnati. We thought that line was
too high. Yeah, we knew it was too high, yeah. even though we
had I don't know. Again, the Bears looked so bad on the road. I don't know. I'm going to think about who I pick in that one. All right, next one, we're going back to England again, second week in a row. New Orleans against Miami.
Neutral site, Saints Dolphins. Yeah. Yuck. I mean, it's not the worst game. I hate
it's
got to
be better than this week's London game was.
Yeah, I hate the teams we've only seen two games from. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, the Dolphins, like, the sort of like the chain rule where I'm blanking on the real word, where it's like, well, the Bucks killed the Dolphins, you know, like, the Dolphins win.
A transitive property, is that what you mean?
Transitive property, yeah. I'm going to say Saints by one.
Saints by one. Okay, so you're going to get this one. I had it as a pick'em. I thought, you know, either team, if they were at home, they'd be favored by 3.
Yes, they should be a pick'em, just about.
Well, but actually, Saints are favored by 2.5.
That's way too much. Yeah. I mean, the Dolphins are getting punished for not showing up against the Jets.
Yeah, even though the week before they went on the road and beat a decent team on the West Coast. But, so you're now ahead of me 2-0, an early lead for Keeve.
I have like 3 wins in 3 years of doing this, FYI, people.
All right, we should do it live less often. All right, Buffalo at Atlanta. Again, the Falcons have struggled on the road against the NFC North. Yeah. But, and in fact, all three of the Falcons games have been against the NFC North, which is an odd way to start the season.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going over a touchdown here. I'm going to say Falcons by 8.
8. All right, you beat me again. I said 7.5, and it's 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, you think about a game like this, and you're like, they're never going to give you less than a touchdown. So it's like, is it 7? Is it 7.5? Is it 8?
I mean, Buffalo's look good, though. You know, they lost.
Yeah, Buffalo's fine, but
they lost on the last play of the game in Carolina. They just beat the Broncos. You know, they're 2-1.
Buffalo's fine. They're a fine team. They're in first place in the AFC.
Yeah, I think I went too low, though. In fact, yeah, but I don't know. 8.5 is pretty high. All right, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore looks really good through 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Disaster in week 3. By the way, both Baltimore and Jacksonville.
The Ravens bandwagon.
I think first teams not to have a bye on the way back from London, though. So they zip back from London, hosting Pittsburgh.
It's up to them. It's at their discretion.
Yeah, they chose not to have a bye. Pittsburgh, again, totally different team at home versus on the road.
There are no byes week 4, right? They don't start till week 5, right?
Well, but that's only because both of the teams in London chose not to. Yeah. Yeah, there are no byes this week. We got every team.
Annoying to have a fantasy week. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Here's where the train leaves the station. I really think the Steelers should be favored here. I'm going to say Ravens by 1.
All right. I also said Ravens by 1, so this is a tie. I still can't catch up on you. Pittsburgh by 3 in Baltimore.
Wow. I mean, listen, the Steelers are much better than the Ravens, but...
Pittsburgh barely beat Cleveland on the road, and then they lose to Chicago on the road.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so far the spreads are reacting to week 3. The spreads are reacting way more to week 3 than they are to weeks 1 through 3.
I don't understand this line.
It's like, oh, the Ravens sucked last week? I don't remember weeks 1 and 2. The Dolphins sucked in week 3?
I think I'm picking Baltimore in this game. And oh, by the way, so winners and losers, you beat me by 1 this past week. And we both have Dallas, I think, today, so we can't catch up. So I beat you by 1 in week 1. We tied in week 2. You beat me by 1 in week 3. So we're tied on the season. Quickly, Chicago at Green Bay. We both have Green Bay. New Orleans versus Miami. I guess I'll take New Orleans, although
I'm going to take Miami in that game.
Disagreement there. Miami. By the way, I'm definitely taking I'm taking the points though because I think that's a toss up. I don't know why New Orleans is favored by so much. All right, so we got to disagree. Buffalo at Atlanta. We're both taking Atlanta. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I'm taking Baltimore. Pittsburgh has not looked good on the road.
Yeah, this would not be one of my best bets. I think Miami's actually going to be one of my best bets of the week. But I'm taking.
All right. Okay, so we got 2 disagreements. All right. Okay. So now we got Cincy at Cleveland, and back to the line game.
All right. This is a brutal loser leaves town.
And oh wait, hold on. Cleveland left town before the season started.
That's true. I mean, Hugh Jackson's got to win this game. Otherwise, it's going to be a really good.
Instead
game.
Of Marvin Lewis is 0-3. I mean,
he's going to be the best coach to ever go 2-30. Hugh Jackson. Like no, there's no heat on him. It's crazy. And people are even trying to leak stuff. Like I think one of the Schefter or Rapport or one of those guys this week said like some Browns guy said, you know, look, you could look now, but Hugh Jackson is 1-17. Like he's starting to get trash in the media. This game is in Cincinnati or Cleveland?
No, in Cleveland. In Cleveland.
Bengals by one.
Bengals by one. All right. You're gonna get this one again. Boy, you are killing me. I had Cleveland by one. How have the Bengals earned being a favorite? They're 0-3. Yeah,
this is a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, and it's Cincy by 3, which means if this was in Cleveland, in Cincy, it'd be Cincy by 9. That's a bonkers line to me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that high, obviously.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. So, all right, so you're now beating me 5-1, including the tie as Cousin Sal and Bill as
ludicrous,
well.
This is ludicrous, but this is...
Yeah, I'm 12.5 points off through 5 games. All right, I'm going to pick Cincy to win that game. Are you picking Cleveland? Okay.
Yeah, I'm picking Cleveland to win in Cleveland, for sure.
So we both are picking the team that we think should be the underdog actually to win. All right, so that's 3 disagreements. All right, Rams at Dallas. Dallas, obviously, really good week 1, really bad week 2. We haven't yet seen them in week 3.
Yeah, this is tough. Obviously, this, you know, if the Cowboys stink, this line's going to be really
And cool neither one of us saw a minute of the Thursday night game because it was on Rosh Hashanah, but apparently it was a really good game.
Yeah, people said one of the best games of the year. Goff's been amazing. I you know, the Rams coach, you could lock up coach of the year right now, basically, if they win this game. In Dallas, I'm going to say Cowboys by 5.5.
All right,
I'm in no man's land.
I said Cowboys by 7.5, and it's Cowboys by 8.5.
That's insane. My best bet of the year is the Rams.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Cowboys aren't
blowing
anybody out.
Yeah, I don't know why.
We better pick this in pick 4, Spread Survivor.
You think the Rams are going to cover?
Yeah, 8.5 is lunacy.
Well, let's see.
I mean,
the Cowboys
might go
do
down
tonight.
To 7 tomorrow. Yeah, it might be down by the time.
Let's see what the Cowboys do tonight. Because I don't think the Rams are good. I still think they're bad. Beating San Francisco.
Good, 8.5. Who are the Cowboys blowing out?
Well, they beat the Giants pretty handily in week 1.
The Giants are the worst team in football. I just said the Rams have scored 70 more points than the Giants.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Giants have 2 good players on their whole team.
Yeah.
By the way, I am nervous. In terms of like who am I nervous about, people ask like that would beat out the Jets at 1-15 or 2-14. Like, if Eli goes down tomorrow, the Giants have 2 good players, and one of them is useless without Eli. If Eli goes down tomorrow, and it's not like they have a good backup, that they're going to go 1-15, you know, at best.
Wow, that's a strong take.
Yeah.
Who's Eli's backup?
Well, Geno's on the team, but I think he's the third string. But someone who's better than Geno, but not by much. I think Davis Webb, the project QB from... No, Geno's officially the backup, I think. Davis will have the project QB from Cal, who should not be playing this year.
All right. Okay, next line. Tennessee at Houston, a battle for the eventual winner of the AFC South.
No love for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I got no love for Jacksonville.
Houston by 4.5.
Yeah, this is one of the craziest lines of the year. I was off by 5 points. You're off by 6 points. Tennessee favored by 1.5. In Houston.
I mean, so we're giving no respect to Houston for almost beating the Patriots, something that they never really do. Like, they played the Patriots better than... Unless the Patriots just suck. They
just
played the Patriots better than they ever do.
Just anybody.
And this is still, like, everyone blowing the Titans from the beginning of the year. And I'm not buying it.
This line is complete lunacy.
Like, does Marcus Mariota, like, have to, you know, throw 2 touchdowns in a game twice in his career before we can anoint him as, like, the next Drew Brees?
I cannot fathom this line. I can't understand this line. It makes no sense. Look, I've always liked Mariota more than Jameis Winston in terms of, you know, the battle between the 1 and the 2 pick in that draft. But Houston is still a very good team. They're an elite team defensively, right? Their offense actually looks somewhat competent with Watson. And I mean,
their line is great. Murray and Henry are running for way over 5 yards of carry, which is how you know that, like, you know, the 2 guys are doing it. It's the line.
I'm absolutely 100%. No questions asked. I'm taking
the team is rushing for.
I'm taking Houston in this game to get points for the better
team
at home.
They don't really have receivers.
Yeah, so we're taking Houston in our survivor pool, I think, in this game.
This is a crazy
spread. All right, Lions at Vikings. It's off the board again because nobody knows about Bradford. But let's talk about the Vikings for a second. So you know, week one, they blow out the Saints at home. Everybody's excited about Bradford. Then week two, Case Keenum mm-hmm. looks like not even an NFL player in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, he looked better than Bradford did.
Talk about the transitive property. Yeah. The Steelers were like, should be the best team in NFL history, other than the fact that they lost to the Bears.
Yeah, I cannot understand. Tampa Bay, first of all, Jameis Winston just throws so many picks. He threw three picks against the Vikings. People who are pumping him up, I just don't understand. He's not a good quarterback. He makes so many bad decisions. Yeah. Like people,
we called him the homeless man's Favre during the hard.
Yeah, people compare him to Brett Favre. That's insulting. Brett Favre is the all time leader in touchdowns and a million others in yards and all these stats until Peyton Manning came and broke them all. But like, Jameis Winston's never going to get close to there. Jameis Winston is not a top five quarterback. He's not a top 15 quarterback.
It's weird because he's very accurate. He just makes bad decisions.
His decision making is, and off the field also apparently. But the real problem with Tampa Bay is their secondary is so terrible. I mean, the Vikings receivers were.
I think they just had a bad game because the first two games they played really well. And you're right.
They've only played one game. Like, they didn't play in week one.
You're right.
They played well, beat the Bears 29-7. I don't know. Their defense, the Vikings wide receivers were wide, wide open.
Yeah. But I need to see another game. I mean, the problem is that the whole team was getting hurt. David got hurt and McCoy got hurt. He returned like. That's a bigger problem. I don't think their secondary is that bad. It was atrocious yesterday, but you know, also give them more time to jail. Like Ward wasn't there in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. So the Vikings, you know, we said if the Vikings can somehow sneak out one win in their two remaining games with Case Keenum, hoping for some reason that Bradford's coming back week five. Although we have no idea when Bradford's coming back, right?
No, it's a weird injury. Like right now, we have a better idea of Luck, who looks like he's coming back week six.
Yeah,
and I think they have a bye week five. Yeah, I mean, we got no clue with Bradford, but at least now Keenum was like below replacement level, and now he's competent backup Case Keenum.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't buy it. He had a phenomenal game, but again, I think Tampa was.
I don't buy it, but maybe he was just so bad because like, you know, he needed a week in the system.
Well, look, the Vikings have two wins in the next two. I said this in the preseason in the Vikings episode. Like the Vikings before the bye, they have to be 6-2 to make the playoffs because the second half of the schedule gets much tougher. So. At home against Detroit and then Chicago the next. These are games the Vikings need to win, whether it's Keenum or Bradford. Whatever. I guess the Vikings would have been favored by 3 because I figure Vikings with Keenum are pretty even to Detroit, who I don't believe in Detroit at all, even though they could just about be 3-0. But all right, so that line's off the board, though. All right, Carolina at New England. I got this one exact, the only exact one
game
I got today. This is a win for me. The question is, can you tie me?
These are Morty's fantasy quarterbacks, Brady and Newton.
Yeah, after we made a trade.
Big trade this week. Although it worked out well for both of you because he Brandon Cooks did well for him.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks had like 30 points. Yeah, but Cam Newton had a bad game. So
yeah, well Newton.
And then DeMarco Murray, who you know had that 75-yard touchdown run. So that was nice.
Can I ask you a fantasy question actually while I think about this Patriots Panthers score?
Yeah, at home.
So I'm in an absurd league where touchdowns for quarterbacks are worth 6.
Yeah.
And yards for some reason for quarterbacks are per 20 points. Per 20 yards is a point, not per 25.
So basically every quarterback has 30 points a week.
Well, no, every quarterback is 25, except I picked first, and I picked David Johnson, who is on IR. And then at 24-25, there were no quarterbacks taken. So I said, let me take Brady and Rodgers, because there's nobody good left at 25 that's really worth taking. And I'll trade one of them for a good player after they both get off to a white-hot start, because they're Brady and Rodgers. Brady averaged in this league 39 points per game last year. In 12 games, he had, you know, 12 times 39 is. And Aaron Rodgers had 506 points in this league. Now, it's not a PPR league. So Jordy Nelson, right, Rodgers has 506 points. Brady has 468 points in 12 games. It's not a PPR league. So Jordy Nelson, who had like one of the better receiving seasons in a bunch of years, right? He had 14 touchdowns, scored 206 points, 300 points less than Aaron Rodgers scored. The number one receiver, I mean, a couple guys had more touchdowns than him, right? Blunt had 18, and I think one, like Zeke maybe had 16, and Johnson had 15 or 16. But, you know, so he's 300 points better. And I can't get rid of Brady or Rodgers. People are offering me like T.Y. Hilton for them.
Why? Who are they
because
starting?
They don't understand. They're thinking, yeah, someone started Simeon this week, someone started Mariota. Someone started Jay Cutler. Because, again, and it's skewed. It's a 12-team league, and I have the two best guys, and Luck, who's like the fourth or fifth best guy, is injured. So there aren't a lot of good quarterbacks right now. Rivers sucks. Roethlisberger sucks. Eli sucks. You know, Derek Carr had a bad week, although he's probably number four right now behind Breeze and those two guys. But so now my question is, if we redraft it tomorrow, knowing those rules, David Johnson's already out, where would you, if you had first pick like I did, where would you draft Brady or Rodgers?
It's, I mean, I don't know. I would, you're saying because quarterbacks are so undervalued.
What? No, no, no. What, I don't know. I'm like, assuming there was 12 Chesters in the league and people weren't morons, like, would you pick Brady or Rodgers first?
No, because you're still only starting one quarterback.
Right, but let's say everyone else is smart, and if you don't get them, like, at best you're getting Carr or Wilson at 24 or 25. Yeah. Those guys don't average 30 points a game. It's 39. Think about how few points per game Jordy Nelson is getting in this league. It's not PPR at all.
No, I think you still made the right bet to get both of them.
Oh, I definitely did, but, you know, Jordy Nelson averaged less than 13 points a game. So if you start Brady, that averages 39. Not that I think Brady's going to average 39, but he had 49 yesterday. And he had 41 last week. He's averaging 45 the last 2 weeks in that league. If you start Brady and he gets 39 points per game, and then you start like the worst receiver on the waiver wire who gets you an average of, let's say, 5, that's 44, versus Carr who gets you like 27, there's no one in the league who gets you 17 points. You're better off starting Brady and leaving your receiver spot blank than starting Carr and Jordy Nelson. You get more points from Brady than Carr plus Nelson.
Yeah, and okay, fine.
People are offering me T.Y. Hilton then. Now, and because they're thinking of it as if it's a four-point, a normal, if a three, let's say a 300-yard, two-touchdown game got you 20 points, because that's what it gets you in standard football. But in this league, it gets you, I don't even know, I can't even calculate that high. 12 for the touchdowns, 15, it's 27 points for like the most basic game Brady's going to have, basically.
Yeah. Well, the people in your league are idiots. That's basically the moral of the story.
Well, we shouldn't even have this. And then I tried to get to two QBs, and it was total chaos. I lost. I was like, I got like Hillary'd. I was up like 5-0 in the vote, and we lost 7-5 for two QBs.
All right. By the way, we forgot to say Tennessee at Houston. So I said Houston's winning. Do you have Tennessee winning or Houston?
I'll pick the home team. I have Houston.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So we both have circle line. Detroit at Minnesota, by the way. Who do you have winning that game?
I need to see the quarterback, but if it's Case Keenum, you know what? Still Vikings.
All right. Okay. So no disagreement there. All right. Carolina at New England. You were going to guess the line on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say the Patriots by 7, and I fear I'm low.
Yeah, you're low. It's 8.5. I got that one exactly.
Okay. I mean, I like the Panthers. I don't know if you'd consider that for one of our four best bets this week, but I'm definitely considering
the Panthers' offense looks really bad.
I know.
They were bad against San Francisco. They were bad against Buffalo.
Well, like the Patriots
they were
right
bad
now.
Against New Orleans. Nobody's worse on defense than New Orleans. Cam Newton threw 3 interceptions to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't blown anybody out yet. You know, they beat the Saints. They got hammered.
Well, I mean, they beat the Saints 36-20. I think that's a blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was all in the first half. They could have done more if they needed to. All right, Jacksonville at your beloved
Benjamin's
Jets.
If you have Benjamin and Olsen, I guess it's not sure yet that
Benjamin was out the whole year. Then they went 15-1. So
fair point. And people say that like he doesn't know the plays even Benjamin. all right, what's the next game?
Obviously, Jacksonville at your beloved Jets.
Jacksonville at the Jets. I was nervous about this game. I was not so nervous about the Dolphins game. When the schedule came out,
I predicted when the schedule came out. If you remember, I predicted the Jets would win that game, go 1-2, and then I backed off from it last week.
Yeah,
so unfortunately,
so we go from Jay Cutler to Blake Bortles to DeShone Kizer, and we're supposed to go 0-16. That's not really realistic. I mean, Josh McCown has been excellent so far. Josh McCown's basically been a Pro Bowl quarterback through 3 weeks. He hasn't missed anybody. He was 18-23 yesterday, and they had a couple drops. He was really great.
By the way, I'm looking at my preseason predictions. I had the Jets beating the Dolphins in week 3 and then never winning again.
Yeah. I mean, I think they might be the Browns next week. I'm going to say the Jaguars by 3. Wait, this game is in New York, right?
In New York.
The Jaguars by 3.
All right, that's a great guess by you. It's Jaguars by 3.5.
I was about to say 3.5, but I think 3.5 is a little high. Because I thought they'd give the Jets a little credit for being dominant.
People
yesterday.
Are really pumped, I guess, by Jacksonville, being up 44-0.
I don't know how the Jets could move the ball. Bouye however you pronounce his name, and Ramsey are the top, like the only shutdown corner tandem in the league right now. And the front 7 is good. But McCown's going to get hammered. I maybe the Jets could stop Fournette. I mean, they didn't stop Lynch, and then somehow they turned Ajayi into like Paul Perkins. But we'll see.
So, is there a chance that Jacksonville's good? Yeah. I mean, they blew out Houston in Houston. They blow out Baltimore in London. Yeah. They lose at home to Tennessee, but Tennessee's, you know, a good team.
We don't love the Titans, and the Texans are a little bit of a mess. I still would, gun to my head, predict the Texans to win the division, but the Jaguars have a great shot at 8-8.
All right. Are you picking the Jaguars to win this game?
They really need
or the Jets really.
No, the Jaguars are going to win the game. I'm nervous. Like, I don't think. Yeah, the Jaguars will win. I mean, they really need to. All they right, have the okay. Steelers and Rams the next 2 weeks.
You told me yesterday the Jets have one good player on their whole team.
Adams has been amazing. Adams, at first I thought it would be the defensive player of the year. Now I think he's just the defensive rookie of the year. Now I think it's like the defensive player of the year. He's playing like linebacker and safety at the same time, making amazing tackles. He's incredible. Yeah, they have one good guy on their team. I mean, unless you count Josh McCown as being good. He is now 3-25 in his last 28 games. All right.
Okay. So we both have Jacksonville in that game. Okay. Next we have San Francisco at Arizona. Again, we haven't seen Arizona tonight yet, but they've looked terrible through two games.
It's tough. I'm going to say Cardinals by 6.5, and there's never 6.5 point spreads.
Yeah, so you're gonna edge me because I said 6, and it's actually 7. That's way too much.
Is there such a thing as a 6.5 point spread? There's not, right?
It's very rare because again, if you think about it the other way,
like 0 to 8.5. Is it?
Well, you never see half. You never see half.
Because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and that's why you don't see 6.5 because it's again a home team at 6.5 means if they're on the road they'd be favored by half. So that's why. I'm going to take Arizona to win this game, but unless they do something good tonight against the Cowboys, I think that's a lot of points. Because
it is a lot of points. Like, if this game was in San Francisco, I'd pick the Niners to win. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the Niners on Thursday night, so apparently they played really well.
And again, we haven't seen the Cardinals against the Cowboys. Like, maybe they're respectable tonight. I think there's a good chance they're respectable, and then, you know, maybe we're back. I'm not on the Cardinals.
Right, but we both have Arizona in Arizona. Yep. All right, Philly at the Chargers. I shouldn't say at because the Chargers have literally zero home field advantage.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of Eagles fans.
There was a lot of Dolphins fans, and Dolphins fans don't travel, especially not
the
West Coast.
2 straight weeks, the Dolphins have had a tremendous fan because they at the Jets, which was an awkward situation. Although the Jets fans weren't rooting against the Jets, at least from what I could tell from the TV. My dad was there. I did not ask him what the Avira was like, what the environment was like.
A lot of LA is filled with transplants, but I don't feel like it's filled with Miami transplants. It's more likely filled with transplants of people from the Northeast.
Miami transplants go there, but then they fail out immediately and they go home.
There's going to be a lot of Eagles fans here. What's your pick for this game?
This is in LA.
The Eagles 2-1. They're one loss at KC.
This is a weird game. I'm going off the reservation. I'm saying Chargers by 2.5.
Okay, yeah. So that's way off the reservation. I had Philly by 1.
Yeah.
So I'm going to win this one. It's actually a pick'em.
Okay, that's fair. This should be anywhere under 3 either way is normal here.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's a pick'em, though. You know, it's hard because...
I mean, the Chargers are the best 0-3 team, like, ever, basically.
Yeah, but that's sort of been par for the course with the Chargers for a while now.
Of course. And now their secondary is, like, dying to the point where, like, they want Revis, but I don't think Revis is going to a team that's 0-3. So win this game, Chargers, if you want Revis to come to your team.
All right, are you predicting them to win?
Yeah, I definitely have the Chargers winning this game.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think Philly's better, and I understand the Chargers don't have a home field advantage, but I'm going to pick the Chargers. I can't see them going 0-4. All right, Giants at Tampa Bay. Giants 0-3. Their season's done. Tampa Bay, again, I did not believe Tampa Bay during Hard Knocks. I did not believe in them week 1 when they didn't play. I did not believe in them week 2 when they killed the Bears. Everybody picked Tampa Bay, including I took Tampa Bay as my lock of the week, as 2.5-point favorites on the road at Vikings and Case Keenum. Their defense is injured. It's not good anyways. Jameis Winston throws picks. Landon Collins is going to get – I'm definitely picking the Giants to cover, and I don't know. Well, the Giants are so bad. I'm not going to pick the Giants to win this game.
No, I'm picking the Bucs to win, and so it's the Giants in Tampa.
In Tampa.
I'm going to go with Tampa – 4.5.
4.5. All right, I'm going to beat you on this one. I said 4. It's only 3.5, which is way too low.
Yeah, this is the Giants getting respect for like a 2007 game.
Yeah,
you know
this line should be way higher. I don't know how to explain it.
Right, if the Giants had the exact same results in the same roster, but their name was the Titans, they'd be like 14-point underdogs.
Yeah. Did you say that because Titan and Giant are synonyms? Or
No.
Well, there used to be two teams in New York, the Titans and the Giants.
And the Jets, yeah, the Jets used to be the Titans, exactly. Mm-hmm. AFL ripping off the NFL. All right, so we both have Tampa winning, but not confident in it, even though the Giants stink. All right, Oakland at Denver. This is a great game, the best of the 4 o'clock games, for sure.
By the way, you know what's depressing? Yeah. I asked my grandfather about the New York Titans, and he said he wasn't really a fan in 60 and 61. He didn't become a Jets fan until 65 when they draft Namath, and he bought season tickets, which he still has. Which scared me because he was born in 29.
Okay.
So at my age, he wasn't even a Jets fan yet, and he still has gone through 55 years of suffering.
What do you
think about that?
He was 36 when he became a Jets fan. I see what you're saying.
yeah, and he still went through almost 50 years of suffering. Over 50 years.
So. Yeah, but he at least he got a Super Bowl very early into his run as a Jets fan.
Yes, of course.
Some might call him a fair weather fan. He waits till they get a
even because. Yeah, because he didn't sign up.
Well, there'll be a lot of Jets fans signing on the bandwagon when they draft Sam Darnold and he refuses to play for them.
I mean, they're not getting him. Unless Darnold's going
to the Chargers or something.
Yeah, I don't think Darnold's going third. Well, the ultimate cuck would be if the Giants had the first pick and got Darnold. That would be the worst day of my life.
All right, Oakland at Denver. This is the game of the week.
Could you imagine, there could be a week where I, lose all my money making a bat mitzvah in December, the last week of December, and then, the next day is week 17 and the Jets blow the number one pick. Truly the worst 24 hours any human being has ever had.
I hope your daughter's listening to this episode.
I mean, I said I wanted her to go to the movies with a few friends and she started crying and ran to her mother.
Yeah, she wants, she's going all out.
No, I'm not even shared on the Google Doc for the bat mitzvah.
Oh, is this your second bat mitzvah or your first?
No, you think I have a 15-year-old? Oh,
I don't know.
Same age.
But you've had kids forever.
I was how cool do you think I was in high school?
All right, Oakland at Denver. This is the game of the week. Everybody was slurping Trevor Siemian through 2 weeks. He did not look good in Buffalo. Again, maybe Buffalo's better than we think, but Siemian is clearly not.
Yeah, maybe they're deep.
Siemian's not a long-term solution, even if he's passable for now. Oakland, by the way, how do you explain that collapse? I said as a joke in the WhatsApp group, I said I picked Washington to beat Oakland, actually, for some silly reason last night. And then when I was being made fun of it, in the Facebook group, I said that Washington would win. I think I said 29-13 or something, and they won 27-10. But I didn't really believe that.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. I don't understand.
I didn't watch the game, honestly.
I fell asleep, but every single thing went wrong for Oakland. Offensively, they were terrible. Defensively, they were terrible. Now they're going into Denver, so that's a tough tough environment under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
What's your guess for the line, and then tell me who you have winning.
Where's the game?
At Denver.
I'm going to say Denver by 4. And I have Denver winning at home.
Yeah, I have Denver winning at home, but also I had it by 3. To me, these teams are clearly even. And guess what? Only Denver by 1.5.
That's wow. So they're saying the Raiders are better, which isn't crazy. I mean, listen, they have the same record, but it's literally the same points for and against. They're 81-63 versus 82-64, almost identical. But one team has Carr and one team has Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, so. But I don't know. I'm taking Denver to win. I know
this is an overreaction to Denver's defense not playing well yesterday, but Denver's defense is still great. Let's calm down.
Also, maybe this line hasn't taken into effect. Maybe this line also fell asleep during the game last night and didn't see Oakland look terrible in Washington. All right, India. By the way, we are now tied at 7 apiece in guessing the spreads. I'm accumulatively 1 point less off the spreads, though. So I'm technically in the lead over the tiebreaker right now. We got 2 games to go, so you got to catch up to me here. And this next one I was off by quite a little bit, so you have a chance. Indy at Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Indy at Seattle. This is tough. I mean, Seattle doesn't blow people out. The spread is going to be too high. I'm going to say Seattle by 7.5. Right. Seattle by 7.
I think I'm just about going to clinch it with that one. I had Seattle by 10. It's Seattle by 13.
It's absurd. It's the best bet of the year. Indy.
Seattle's offense.
Brissett was competent last week. They can't beat anybody by 13. They couldn't beat Alabama by 13 now, or Clemson with their line.
Yeah, that line is completely incomprehensible to me. I'm 3 off. You're 5.5 off.
I hope you were writing them because I think we have our 4 locks of the week already.
Yeah, Indy is going to cover that for sure. Yeah, that's a terrible spread. Indy is a sure bet. Denver's a sure bet to me. All right. So I'm now up 8-7 on you, but you're way more games off than me, and I was only off half point on this one. So I've clinched for the week. But let's see if you can at least get to 8, make yourself feel better. Washington at Kansas City.
Okay.
Washington now, I picked Gruden possibly to get fired, but they've won 2 in a row against decent teams. So. Yeah.
What is this, the Monday night game?
This is Monday night, yeah. Washington, right. Two games in a row on so national kind of TV against Monday AFC West teams, which is very odd.
What was the Sunday night game again?
Oh, it's Indy at Seattle. Unwatchable.
All right, that's NBC. Like, they should get a flex game for week four. They should have one emergency, like, the, you know, like Brady gets hurt or Luck gets hurt, super flex.
Yeah, even if Luck was playing, this would be a bad game. But yeah, but now it's unwatchable.
Yeah. Watch Trump next week. Like, oh, the ratings are way down. Like, yeah, moron, because Jacoby Brissett was down 21-0 in the first quarter. And they did come back to win, in fairness. The Chiefs by 5.5.
5.5.
Nailed it.
No, it's 6.5.
Oh,
yeah, we said there's never 6.5-point spread. There it is.
That's funny. Nice way to end.
So, yeah, so I said 7, so I beat you. I'm half point off.
I got the Chiefs winning.
You have the Chiefs winning, yeah, so do I. All right, so I beat you 9-7, but I'm pretty close this week. Both of us, I'm 28 points off total. You're 32 points off total, so Bill and Sal will probably beat us. And we have three games we disagree on. I have the Saints in London. You have Miami. I have Baltimore at home. You have Pittsburgh. And I have Cincinnati on the road. You have Cleveland. So we will definitely, unless there's a tie, we will not tie this week. Yeah, any other takes? Hot, cold?
No, I think this is a good one. Rob Cesarino said that this is like a tricky podcast because he thinks he's got 5 minutes left and then the final song comes on.
I used to just play a segment of the song, but I realized like people can listen to the whole song. If they really don't want to, they don't have
yeah.
to.
Rob knows a million times more about podcasting than this, and I really respect his opinion, but the number one compliment we get is not, wow, Akiva, you have great takes on the NFL. It's like, we really like, they like the way you put in the song, and they like the songs I pick, and people, it's like the only good part of the podcast. People like it, so why not stick with what's working?
Yeah, who's clamoring for 5 more minutes of us instead of 5 minutes of a popular...
I know, we got Charles Bradley, he just died, listen to this song, it's great, it'll knock your socks off.
Yeah, and we got a live version. All right, on that note, listen to Charles Bradley. Goodbye.
Little town they call Poughkeepsie. Got me a job.